majesty of the mountains and the glaciers and the lakes and the colors. In fact, it's one of the most beautiful places in the world that I know about. And so we head our camper towards Banff National Park, but it's raining as we drive to Canada. We get into Canada and it's raining in Canada. We get into Banff National Park and it's foggy and rainy. So that I have to say to them, you wouldn't believe what that mountain looks like over there. I mean, this one is incredible over here. We stayed for 3 days in the rain and the fog. We were having breakfast, all of us as a family, and I said, it was the 12th day of rain, constant, in a mini motorhome with three kids. Try that sometime, see what that does to strain out your relationship. Everything was wet, the kids were grouchy, I was uptight, I didn't want to go on to Seattle. I brought it up. I said, I think we ought to go back to Phoenix, get back in the sunshine, and I'll fly to Seattle. What do you think of that? Norma said instantly, no, I don't want to go to Seattle. I'll go back to Phoenix. I want to stay here. Look at, I mean, you told us about this place. It'll stop raining. Let's give it another couple days. We've got the time. I said, honey, I can't handle any more of this, and this is driving me up the wall. Of course, the kids instantly chimed in. The two boys wanted to go to Washington and fish, and Carrie says, no, let's go on to Seattle because I want to see some of the football players. She knows a lot of them personally there. She started to lobby for her cause, and pretty soon each one of us were lobbying, and our voices were rising right in this restaurant, you know, and we got louder and louder, sort of unaware of other people. Finally, Greg says, our middle child, he says, hold it! I got the solution. It was so emphatic, we all stopped. In fact, other people were looking in. He said, I think we ought to go out in the camper, get a gun, and shoot each other. Now, that's typical of the kind of thing he's capable of saying, but it relaxed us. We laughed a little, you know, and we did stay, and the sun did come out, and we did have a good time there. But what do we do in these strained times as a family, as a friend? What do we do when things get tensed out? Because we're all under stress from time to time for various reasons. If we can understand and apply this concept, watch how your relationships can change even today in a matter of minutes. We don't have to walk with disharmony with people. We can literally be in harmony most of the time with those around us. This concept is really comes from the New Testament. Of course, there's a theme all the way through Scripture, but it comes from the New Testament, from the idea of forgiveness. Jesus said that he came into the world to set the captive free, to release those in bondage, to release, set free. Well, the root Greek word to the word forgiveness is to release, set free. Now, what happens to a lot of us without realizing it is that we get involved with relationships with other people, friendships or whatever, and we start doing things and saying things that are offensive to other people. Now, oftentimes, we're not aware of what we're doing or saying. But when we say an offensive thing, a cutting thing, or do something that's insensitive to another person, what we don't often realize is that what we're doing is tying people up in knots because they're hurting inside. Do you realize that 1 John chapter 2 says that if you offend someone and they become angry with us, that if we leave them in anger, we actually leave them in darkness. Because a person who maintains anger towards another person is in darkness, it says. They cannot know the love of God and they can't know the light of God. People get tied up in knots and then they cannot have the very life of God and love of God flowing through their life, which is a tragedy. We need to be making sure that we love each other enough and value each other enough that we really attach value to each other like we'd be attaching value to this $100,000 stone, just like we attach value to a person saying, you're worth it to me, to make sure that I don't do anything that ties you up in knots. Forgiveness is saying, I want to make sure that everything I do keeps you free, but more than that, I want to start figuring out how to untie your knots. And the Bible says we can try 490 times, 70 times 7. It may take that many times to figure out how to help somebody get, and you can try for, and they don't respond because we're not going at the right one. The more we do it, the more we work with a person, the easier it is to understand, so that's what I did. So that's what I said to tie you up. You know what else is fascinating to me? You know why most people are ornery? Because they have knots tied up inside their life. That's why the scripture says we can love our enemies, because our enemies are people who are tied up in knots. That's the whole concept of forgiveness. And this is incredible because You've said it 100 times, but you know that in the Lord's Prayer it says, if you forgive those that trespass against you, God will forgive you of your sins and trespasses. You know, if you put a different meaning, a different definition to the word forgiveness, listen to how it goes. If we get involved in the process of releasing those that have stepped on us, offended us, of untying their knots, God then, what's he do? He unties our knots. Ah. Just by helping somebody else, we got our own knots untied. That's kind of the basis of this concept that is setting families and individuals with their friends free all over this country. Show you how this works. I'm going to use my hand as the illustration. I'm going to say that this explains a total person. I'm going to say that the outside tips of my finger represent the spirit of a person. The spirit. So we'll put SP here on each one of these. It's a circle here. We'll say way out here is a circle. That's the spirit of a person. Now, the spirit of a person is sort of like their innermost being. It's the part of a person that touches another person without any words being spoken and no actual physical involvement. Like, all of you have been checking my spirit out the entire time. And I've been checking your spirit out. We don't have to say anything to each other. You know, when I first met Walt, we looked at each other, you know, and checked each other out, you know, here in the parking lot. He was checking me out. I was checking. We didn't say anything to each other. The spirit of a person, it's like the innermost, our innermost being. It's like our spirit bears witness with God's spirit that we're his children. It's our spirit of a person. We'll say that the palm of my hand, we'll put a circle here, the palm of my hand represents the soul of a person. The soul. We'll say the soul is the mind, will, and emotions. Then we'll say the very middle of my hand is the body of a person. Now, each of these, this is my total hand, but it makes up a total being. The spirit, the soul, and the body. They're not separate things like my spirit's this side of the brain or something. It's a total involvement. It's a whole person. Spirit, soul, and body, each affecting the other. I'll show you how this works. I'll walk down here and we'll take Bill for an example. Now, I'm going to have a total relationship with Bill right here on the spot. Because, see, Bill's been checking my spirit out, and I've been checking Bill's spirit out the whole time. And now, see what happened to Bill? He started to smile. As soon as that thing happens, see, that's his spirit, and our spirit communicating to each other, we're open to each other. Okay, now I can go down here and say to Bill, hey, Bill, it is so good to have you here. I really appreciate you being here. How are you? Fine. He says he's fine, okay? Now, I've just touched in my soul, because soul is mind, will, and emotion. Our mind, where we talk. Now watch this. I can take his hand and say, Bill, oh, good to have you here. Oh, right in the front row to be picked on. This is great, okay? And he didn't even know anything about this. All right, now, I've had a total relationship with Bill, spirit, soul, and body. Now, admittingly, it's kind of a shallow relationship, right? But it's still a relationship, a total relationship. Every one of us in this room have that kind of relationship with all those that are acquaintances, our friends, our family. Spirit, soul, and body. There's a very interesting verse that we've shared a number of times. 1 Peter 3:7. It says, husbands, live with your wife in understanding, recognizing she's a woman, the weaker vessel. Now, the word weaker vessel is not an inferior word, it's a superior word. It actually means fragile or sensitive, aware, alert, more aware of what's actually happening, especially in the world of relationships. This is what happened, sort of, in general, between Norma and myself as we started to date. I wasn't aware of how God had created a woman differently than he created me, and I wasn't aware of what her spirit was like, and I wasn't aware of what mine was like. We just sort of dated, you know, and I didn't have that much training and so on. We just sort of became involved in our relationship. I started dating her. I really enjoyed being with her. I met her at a youth meeting. She came in just a little bit late. There wasn't any place to sit, you know, and I sort of scooted over on the couch. She sat right down here next to me, and she looked up at me, and her one eyebrow went up. And I liked that eyebrow, you know, went up at me, okay? And I thought, hey, I think she's kind of cute. Now, it took me 3 weeks to get up the nerve to ask her out, and I finally did, and she was so easy to talk to, and miracles, she, you know, accepted to go out with me and so on. And we started our relationship and dating, and she was so much fun to be with. We dated on and off, you know, for about 4 years. But during the first few months of our relationship, I began to do some things that were insensitive that I wasn't aware of how she was responding. And I was saying things and doing things. And then I heard something about her that I thought, well, you know, I don't know whether she was telling me, you know, about something that happened to her, an accident that happened to her in high school. And I was thinking, I don't know if I want to continue this relationship. You know, what if God calls me into the ministry? Should we continue to marry? And so I took her on this real special date. I took her home, and I said to her at the door, there's something I would like to say to you that I've been thinking about lately. She said, yeah, what is it? Well, I could see by the expression on her face that I shouldn't say it now because I was thinking about breaking up. So I thought, well, I won't say it now. And she said, no, what is it, what is it? And so she coaxed me into this, which is really a very insensitive thing. And I went into her kitchen and I told her I didn't think we ought to see each other anymore. And it wasn't the fact that I broke up with her, it was how I did it. What I began to do in our relationship was offend my wife, and she started to close her spirit towards me even during our dating time. I didn't know it. She was still sparkly and enthusiastic, but now that we look back on it, we could see that she was starting to close her spirit. Well, then we get married, and then I'm even less sensitive. You know, after a man conquers, then it's even less relationship that takes place. So now we're married, and I'm speaking at all these little youth things, you know, I was still in college, and she would go to me a lot of these things, and I wanted her to be with me, you know, on these things, and I would speak, and I started to say things and do things even more that was really affecting her spirit. I would say these things like to these kids, you know, I'd say, oh, it's sure great being married to Norma. She treats me just like a god. Every morning she serves me burnt offerings. And the kids, you know, would go, ho, ho, kind of thing, you know. I'd say, you know, being married to Norma is just like being married to an angel. She's always up in the air harping about something, and she never has an earthly thing to wear, you know. And I'd go, ho, 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 kind of thing. And she wouldn't be smiling. And so we'd get in the car and drive home. She'd say, you know, I really didn't appreciate that thing. Hey, you're so sensitive. It's like one of my friends at that time, who was in youth work also, he told this one in a youth. He said he was saying that one time he pulled up to an airport, you know, and this guy cap comes out and he says, they were getting out of the car, and he says, hey, can I help you with your bag? And he says, no, thanks, she can walk. And we, you know, ho, kind of thing, you know. And we as oftentimes as men, we think that's real cute, you know, funny, ho, kind of thing. The problem is we're not aware that God has created a woman that's somewhat more sensitive than we are, and what happens is that it begins to close her spirit. 6 months or so after we were married, Valentine's Day rolls around. And Norma's home making one of, you know, a really neat, something like a roast beef dinner or whatever, one of her first times, you know, she's home. And what do you think Norma's thinking? It's Valentine's Day, and she's probably thinking, hey, my husband's going to come home sometime this afternoon because I was working at a church and in college at the same time, and he's going to have some card for me, some real romantic thing, you know, some real neat thing off the right side of the brain, and some real sensitive thing. And so what does Smalley do? He calls at 2 o'clock in the afternoon and says, honey, I forgot to tell you, I've got a basketball game tonight. She says, but this is Valentine's Day. I says, yeah? And she said, well, hey, I've got dinner, and I've got car, you know, at that time she had tablecloth already on and candles already on. I says, yeah, I know. But I got to go to this game because I gave my word. And I'll pick you up at such and such a time. And she was silent on the phone. And you know that I literally thought in my mind, basically on the left side, I thought, I have a strong-willed woman on my hands. I didn't realize that. So I thought, well, I might as well take advantage of the opportunity right here on the spot. So I said, hon, you know, we're going to the ministry, right? You know, we want to have a godly marriage. And I said, there's something very important that the Bible says. And I says, the Bible says that a wife should submit to her husband. You know how that went over? It didn't go over. You know how I thought it went over? I thought she's just becoming more strong-willed. Her spirit began to close up on me, but I didn't know it. And little by little, I did more and more of these things until I was starting to drain the sparkle right out of her eyes. Now, the tragedy is that the more a man steps on the spirit of his wife and she begins to close her spirit, the more she becomes obnoxious, insensitive, and begins to be offensive to him, and he starts closing his spirit. So pretty soon what you have are two people in the same house or two friends in the same relationship who are starting to close their spirit towards each other, and as we close our spirit, what happens? It closes up the soul and the body. So, like, what are the results of a closed spirit? What happens? Here's what happens. As I was being more and more insensitive to Norma, I was saying and doing more and more things, what happens is that as the spirit closes, you can see it, it closes up the soul and the body. Well, when the soul closes, that means the mind, will, and the emotion closes. That means when you do something to your wife, your husband, or your kids, what happens to them is they don't want to talk. You go in to touch them, they don't want to touch. Don't touch. Their will tightens up. They become resistant. You say something to them, they respond like this. You can begin to step on the spirit of your wife, and you can say, hon, isn't this, I think this thing is red. And she'll say, it's not red, it's yellow. It's obviously red. And you'll say, well, this is, look at logically, this is red. She'll say, it's not red, it's shallow. Now, that kind of response is saying that my spirit is closing, because we tend to disagree. If a boss steps on our spirit and we begin to close, we start disagreeing in our mind, like we don't want to be there anymore. We start arguing with them in our mind. All of a sudden, we begin to see things that we didn't notice before, because our mind starts to interact. Our will tightens up. You step in the spirit of your children, what happens to a child? Typically, they become resistant, and that's part of the basis of a strong-willed, resistant child. Resistant. You tell them to take the trash out. No, I want to go out and tell me to tell somebody. What is that? Part of that could be their spirit is closing because we've stepped in their spirit. Possibly. It's a major possibility. What about emotionally? Part of the mind, the soul. They start losing their feelings. And physically, it's closed. We don't want to touch. You show me a woman that's been married for a number of years, and she appears to be strong-willed, resistant to her husband, and I'll show you a woman that's probably closing her spirit towards her husband. Because when we become resistant, that's part of the sign of our spirit closing. Just to show you how this works, the scripture really only has two major things to say to a wife. One of them is to reverence your husband, and the other one is to submit. Those are kind of two basic themes throughout the New Testament especially. The word submit causes red to come to the eyes of a lot of women, because the whole idea sounds degrading, the word submit. I don't know how we've gotten so far away from what that word actually means, because the word submit actually doesn't mean a doormat or just being told to do something and you do whatever you're told. That has no way near what the word submission means. Submission is really defined in Romans 12:10. It's being devoted to one another in brotherly love, preferring one another in honor. It means, submission means trying your best to make sure somebody else's needs are met before your own. It has nothing to do with being silent. It has nothing to do with going doormatness, being stepped on. It's an actual demonstration of love is what submission is. That's why the scripture says we can submit one to another. But watch what happens when I ask this question. I like to have all you ladies be just as honest as you can. Just respond, you know, if you want to. You don't have to, obviously. But I want to ask a question. I'd like you to raise your hand if this is true. Just to show you how consistent this is everywhere I go across the country. How many of you ladies would find it relatively easy, easier, to submit, I'll even use the word submit, to submit to your husband if he was sensitive, and tender, and kind, and gentle, understanding, thoughtful, compassionate, gently touching you? How many of you would find that if he basically kept your spirit open and was basically Christ-like, how many of you would find it relatively simple to submit to a man like that? Okay, look at this. Fascinates me. One time I was coming, getting on an airplane that was open seating, and I came to the door, just the last door before you get onto the airplane, and I started to open it, and I noticed a woman right behind me, so I stepped aside and started to open the door, and she says, "No, thanks. I'll get that door myself." So I thought, hey, this is great. I got to sit by this woman. Because I was interviewing women at that time, you know. So I walked on with her and got on the airplane with her, and I sat right next to her. And after a while, we struck up a conversation. It was informal at first. And then pretty soon, I started interviewing her. I said, "Can I ask you a really personal question?" She said, "Yeah, go ahead." And I said, "Would it be, you know, relatively easy for you to submit, you know?" And you could see her eyes, submission, just the word. "To your husband, if he was tender and gentle," and I went through that same thing. And she looked at me, she said, "Of course I could submit to a man like that." She said, "Does anybody like that exist in this whole world?" I said, "Well, you don't find them everywhere, you know, all over the place." It's fascinating to me, if we are loving, especially a woman, because of the way they're created, how they respond to us as men, how they respond in a relationship, if we understand that the spirit closes and causes that resistant spirit. See, if your son or daughter's spirit closes, if you don't like those friends, they like them. If you like a particular music, they don't like it. If you don't like that music, they really get into it. If you find that they don't want to be home a lot, check that out. If you go up to your son or daughter and try to hold them and they go, "Oh, no, oh," chances are that's a sign of a closed spirit. Now, I need a man to come up here, and because I'm going to demonstrate the difference between the spirit of a woman and the spirit of a man. Any man, I'm going to show you, What I'm going to do, it won't embarrass you. I'm going to have a man come up here. Just stand up here. I'm going to have him close his eye and hold out his, close both of his eyes, and hold out his, unless he has just one eye, hold out his hand, and I'm going to put two objects in his hand one at a time. All I want him to do is tell us what that is. Okay? Come on up. Good. Okay. Your name is?
John Trent.
Dr. John Trent. Okay, very good. Okay, John, just relax. Relax here. I'll just... Okay? Now, all I want you to do is close your eyes, hold out your hand. Now, what I'm going to demonstrate is the difference between the spirit of a man and the spirit of a woman. This is part of the understanding of 1 Peter 3:7 that the woman is the weaker vessel. Now, watch how this works. I'm going to let... Keep your eyes closed, okay? I'm going to let everybody else see this, but you can't see it, okay? I'm going to put your hand... Just tell me what you think this is. What do you think that is?
Probably a rock.
It's a rock. Okay, keep your eyes. Most guys can pick that right up. Okay, thank you, John. Okay, now. Okay, John, I'm going to put a second object in your hand. Don't look. Everybody else is going to see what this is, but John can't see this. All right? Now, put your hand. I don't want you to feel it at first. If you can tell me what it is at first, great. If you can't, then I'll let you feel it in a few seconds. Just a second. Don't get nervous. There you go. Now, what do you think that is?
I don't know.
Okay, go ahead and feel it.
It's a rock.
It's a little rock. Yeah. Very good. You got one? Let's give John a hand, okay? All right? Now, watch how this works. Oftentimes, a man will say and do something to his wife or children, and he will think they feel it like this. And she starts reacting, or they react, and they get really bent. And he says, "What do you make it such a big deal of this anyway? Hey, you're so sensitive." Sometimes we feel like saying, "I wish I was married to a man sometimes." You know, it really is what it really comes down to. But you know how she's feeling it? Like this. She's not feeling it like this. They're much more sensitive than we are. They're much more aware, much more alert. They're taking in more information all the time than we are. And we're just not aware that when we use that joke or do that thing or say this, that it's really affecting them the way it does. If we can understand just that part right there. Now, how do we know the severity of a closed spirit? How do we know how closed a person's spirit really is? Well, the way I have discovered that we can tell how closed a person's spirit is by looking at the non-verbal. Now, what we don't want to do when we're closing a person's spirit, now this is a friend or a relative or someone at work, anyone, husband and wife, because a woman can close the spirit of her husband just about as rapidly as we can close her spirit, so that it's true of all of us. How do we know how close it is? How do we know if it's tightly closed or just slightly closed? How do we know that? It's the nonverbal. Watch how this works. They tell us that about 93% of communication between a husband and wife especially is nonverbal. They say that about 38% of communication is tone of the voice, just tone of voice. They tell us that about 55%, give or take whatever, is facial expression and body language. So that if Mary says to Walt, "Do you love me?" It's how he says it that's really the communication. If he says, "Sure, I love you. Don't I come home all the time? And for heaven's sake, why do you keep asking?" So see, it's the tone of voice that he uses and the facial expression that communicates whether or not he really loves her. It's like this one... couple came to me in Mississippi. They came down the front and they said, "Can we tell you this one?" And I said, "Sure, go ahead." And they said, "Well, not long before this time, she said, I was just desperate to hear my husband tell me that he loves me, because he never did it. So this one morning, she said, I was crying. I said, 'Could you never tell me you love me?' You know, and he was ignoring her, trying to get ready for work, ignoring her. She was hanging on, 'Why don't you ever tell me you love me? I need to hear it, Connie.' So finally, he gets ready and goes out the door, you know, and he's getting in his car, and she rushes out and says, 'Oh, I don't want to have to go through all day upset like this. You don't have to tell me anymore.' She said, 'I don't want to be all messed up like this.' And he said, 'Honey, I told you once I loved you. If I ever change my mind, I'll let you know.'" Now, tone of voice is what communicates this whole thing. And facial expression. So that it's almost like this. It's like when a man closes the spirit of his wife, you have to look carefully at the tone of voice. Listen carefully to the tone of voice. You actually can see it. If a man says, "Oh, honey, you haven't been talking to me. I can't touch you anything. I long to hear you say those three little words that, you know, make me walk on air." And she turns to him and says, go hang yourself. Go hang yourself is, she doesn't mean to go hang yourself. It's how she says it. She says, go hang yourself. That means her spirit's closed quite a bit. If she says, go hang yourself, that means her spirit's closed just a little. In fact, we can go down here and show you how this works. Let's say that Walt is a pastor. I mean, this is going to happen to pastors as easily as can anybody else. Let's say he comes home and walks into the house at night and a hard day at work, whatever. He walks in the house and says, hi, Mary, I'm home. And this is Mary does something like this. Mary goes, yeah? She's working away at something. He says, honey, is anything wrong? did I do something? do you want to talk about it? No words have been spoken yet. And he says, and he goes over and touches her. Not right now. Not right now, Walt. Now, what does that tell Walt about Mary's spirit? It tells him that her spirit's only closed about right here. But let's say another time he comes home, and it's just a different day, and he walks into the house, and he says, hi, Mary, hon, I'm home. She goes, yeah, big deal. And he says, hey, anything wrong? Oh. And he says, hey, did I do something today? She says, oh, I can't believe you keep asking me, did you do something wrong? You're always doing this to me. Now, the problem is that a man tends to hear the word always and never on the left side of the brain. So Walt's capable of doing something like this. Now, Mary, did I do it yesterday? It has nothing to do with yesterday. It has everything to do with her nonverbal communication. If he goes to touch her and she says, just don't bother me right now. Ooh, you frustrate me. What's that? He may say to her, Mary, do you want to talk about it? I'd really like to resolve this. No, I don't want to talk about it. What is she actually saying to him? Her spirit's closed about right here. And do you know that the average woman is actually saying, I want to talk about it. I'd love to resolve it in a certain way. Doesn't sound like she's saying she wants to resolve it, does it? But a woman is not, she's actually saying she wants to resolve it. She thinks we see and hear that she's saying that. But it's a different language. We're not reading it exactly the way she's saying it because we're in two different worlds. All right? Okay, let's say that this is how we can tell. Let's say that Walt comes home. He's had a tough day. All day, working with the people of the church, he comes home, goes up to the front door, tries the door, it's locked. So he goes around the back of the house, and that door is open, and all of a sudden he walks in, and a bass explodes over his head. Good night. What's the deal? I don't want any part of you anymore. As a matter of fact, we are planning to leave you. I am starting to pack. I cannot stand you. I mean, I am so frustrated with you. You are so making me so uptight. I hate you. Get out of here, because I got a court order against you. No, I don't want to resolve that. He goes over to touch her, and she goes, what do you think she's saying? That's nonverbal, for my spirit is tightly closed to you. That's what that is. Do you know that she is actually saying, it doesn't sound like it, does it? She's actually saying, I'd like to resolve this. Doesn't even sound logical, does it? Let's don't get into the logic of it. The significance is that if we pursue, even if there's a separation in a marriage, the average mate doesn't realize that you can pursue another person because they even believe when their spirit's closed that my feelings will never return. There's no way, I hate you. You know that as your spirit opens, your feelings come back. You know that as your spirit opens, your will softens. As your spirit opens, you want to talk again. As your spirit opens, physically you want to touch. You know what wives tell me all across the nation? When a husband steps on her spirit and she closes, she cannot respond to him sexually. She said, often they say to me, they almost feel like a prostitute. Because they can't respond. And a lot of husbands will go, what a frigid. Hey, the frigidity is a lot to do with her spirit being open. Because physical involvement for a woman is spirit, soul, and body, not just body. All three have to be interrelating. Otherwise, they have just a tough, sure, they can respond mechanically kind of thing, but there's no life if the spirit is closed. There's life if the spirit is open. You know of someone that you've stepped on and you've offended them? A mate, a child, a relative? Do you know of someone who stepped on your spirit? How many of you are offended and just wish that somebody would come and do something that could open your spirit? Do you know there's some special ways that we can actually open the spirit of a person? Now, I'm going to talk about five ways to open the spirit of another person. It can be a wife, a husband, a child, a friend, anyone. I'm going to give you an example in my own life. I'll share all five of them, see if you can pick them out, and then I'll go over them one at a time. When Greg was about 5 or 6 years old, I worked for a large Christian organization at that time, and I talked to a lot of pastors all over the country and leaders in various cities all over the country, so oftentimes I had to do that right at home. And I had a rule in my home, nobody screams when I'm on the phone. Because I didn't want any of these people, you know, to think that I didn't have my family in control. And just a little rule I had, you know, and anyway, I was on the phone one time, long distance call to a pastor up in the master bedroom. And I'm talking away, and all of a sudden, Greg lets out a blood-curdling scream from the master bathroom. Bah! Kind of thing, you know. And I can hear him, obviously, and so I'm thinking this guy can hear him, so I'm trying to keep talking to him, but Greg is still screaming. So he runs into my bedroom when I'm on the phone and goes, ah, 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 and he's screaming. And I say, shh, shh, shh. And he's, ah, 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 ah. And I just, I go, and he wouldn't stop. So I said to the guy, hey, something's come up. I need to get back to you, okay? I hung the phone up and I ran over to him and I grabbed him on the arm and I said, you're screaming when I'm on the phone. I shoved him into the hallway and said, get into your bedroom. So he goes into his bedroom. He's still crying. I said, you curse this bed. And I took the stick that we made as a family, decorated in a little thing, and I whomped at his little bottom several times. And I stood back like this, the stick in my hand, and thought, that's what you get screaming while I'm on the phone. He stands up, looks at me, and I could see in his eyes that he hated me. I saw that his spirit was closing on me. He didn't want to talk. He didn't like me. He was resistant. I could have said, now get over here, I want to hug you. They say you're supposed to hug your kids after you spank them. I said, get over here, I want to hug you. You know what he would have done? No. I would have said, hey, get over here. He would have gone. Mechanical. He didn't want any part of me. He was backing up. Backing up and looking at you like I hate you means, part of that means my spirit is closing on you. They don't want to touch. So I recognized it, and somebody had already been trying to teach me this, and I thought, oh, I don't want to go through stepping on the spirit of my kids or anyone because they're too, you see, people are too valuable to me to be stepping on. I make a decision because love is a decision. Now, I don't always feel these things. I just recognize it. So I dropped to my knees right off, and I got soft in my spirit, and I said, Greggy, why were you crying? He's still going, he was crying like this. He said, Daddy, he said, I fell in the bathtub. He said, my ear. And I looked at his ear, and it was swollen and bleeding. And I went, oh, I didn't even notice this whole thing during the whole ordeal. And then he said, and when you push me the hallway, he says, I hit the toy box in the same ear. So now I'm feeling like a child abuser. Okay, so now I'm hurting. So I'm on my knees, and I'm thinking, oh. And I hand him the stick, and I said, you know, Greg, I deserve the spanking. He dropped that stick and backed up. He didn't want any part of me. And I just continued to look at him, and I wanted to touch him, but I could see he didn't want any part of me. So I said, Greg, Daddy was so wrong. Could you find it, and could you just forgive Daddy? Could you? And he rushed to my arms and threw his arms around me. Sobbing, you know, we lay back in the bed and he's right on my chest. You know how they are for a long time. Kind of thing, you know. For about a half hour, I'm holding him. And after a little while, I'm looking at his ear and I said, are you sure you've forgiven Dad? He pats me and he says, oh, Daddy, we all make mistakes. You know what that told me about Greg? That told me that Greg was opening his spirit because he's touching me. He was talking to me. He's alive. His feelings are coming back. That's how we know somebody's spirit is opening. But it happens oftentimes because of an attitude. Now watch how this works. See this hand? Soft pillow kind of thing, soft. The first thing I did was I became soft in my own spirit. Because softness turns anger away. It begins to untie a person who starts to be tied up with knots of anger. Softness. Sometimes just these two things do it all by itself. The second thing is understanding. When I said to Greg, why were you crying? Why didn't I ask this before I spanked him? Why were you crying? When he said that, I could see you. I would have cried. If I'd have fallen in the bathtub with my ear. So now I'm hurting inside because I'm understanding what he's gone through. He smashed his ear and then he gets a spanking. What a deal. Then I said, number three, first one is soft, second one is understanding. Third one, I acknowledged that he was hurting and I admitted I was wrong. How hard is it to admit we're wrong? It's difficult. Almost have to say, Lord, would you give me the power to admit this? Because we're so proud, all of us. The more I do it, the easier it gets. No question about it. Four, touch. Because touch is a nonverbal way of knowing whether a person is opening their spirit. See, if they go like this. You see, you step in the spirit of your wife at 10 o'clock at night, you get into bed, what happens? She lays way over on the other side, it's no touchy the toes. No touchy the toes means probably my spirit is closing. Okay? And the fifth thing we do is we ask for a response. Seek a response. Say something like, could you forgive me? I don't deserve to be forgiven, but oh, could you forgive me? If you do that whole thing in softness with an attitude, the attitude is that you're valuable to me. I don't want you all tied up in knots. I don't want you to go all night all tied up and messed up in your heart and not being able to respond. I don't want that. I want you free. That's the spirit. I love you. Watch how this works. I'll go down and do this with Carrie. Okay? Now, this can happen with my daughter. This can happen with my wife or whatever. I want Carrie just to tell me how she responds to this naturally. Let's pretend, Carrie, that I just said something. I know I'm never insensitive to you, right, around the house? That's right. And, okay, we're just going to pretend that I've just stepped in your spirit and you're closed maybe about right here, okay? Your spirit is closing. Okay, so I come to you. Maybe it's in your bedroom. Maybe your door's shut. It's locked, okay? That's possible. And so I knock on the door and you say, Dad, you know, I don't want to talk about it right now. Carrie, I need to say something to you. No, Dad, not now. Could I just say it just for a... See, I'm persisting, but I'm gentle. You've got to persist. Even if they won't do this for an hour or two, but you have to keep checking the water to see how far we can go, because persistence is showing somebody that you value them. I don't want to leave her closed up to me. It causes rebellion. You know, one of the significant factors of immorality with a daughter, one of the factors is when a father closes the spirit of his daughter, what he tends to do is to drive her to another fellow of her own age. Part of that is because the relationship between dad and daughter is being severed because of the closed spirit, which can push her to somebody else. So I don't want that for her. So I'm persisting. Couldn't I just talk to you for a minute? So she says, okay. She gets up, and she really doesn't want to do this because her feelings are gone. So she opens the door, and I go to her, and I go over and sit next to her on the bed, you know, and I just touch her on the hand. And she doesn't respond real well, but I say something like this. I say, Care, you know how much I love you, don't you? Okay, and I say, I don't even deserve to be forgiven by you, but I don't want to go all day like this, and I know you don't, and I don't know why I keep doing things like this to you. I love you so much. I could justify and say because I'm under stress for this or that, but that's not an excuse. You know that I love you, and I just don't want you to keep responding like this, so could you forgive me? Yeah, she'd say, yeah. Why is that? Why does the woman's spirit tend to melt when a man is soft? Because softness melts the spirit. And persistent softness melts the spirit. Can you imagine couples and singles all over this country valuing each other enough to go to each other and make sure the spirit of that person is open because of our own offensive behavior? And then honoring each other with value. And then if you're married, her spirit is open, drawing out of her built-in marriage manual. You see the harmony?